teach your children early that every choice to do one thing is a choice not to do 100 other things.
In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about school, going back to school. And I want to suggest that parents pay extra special attention to the extracurricular activities of their children. I see our whole society bringing greater and greater pressure on everybody. And I think it's a crime to allow children to become so pressured that they get frantic and they are in over their heads, as it were. And this is entirely possible and likely unless parents are carefully monitoring the extracurricular activities of the children. And I know how difficult it must be to say, no, you cannot go out for band if you're going to be in the glee club or play baseball or whatever. I don't know what things conflict. But the child feels that he has his heart set on something and his best friend is going to do this or that, and he's just got to do all these things. You've got to set the limits. The child doesn't know how deeply he's going to get submerged. You can see from your perspective what is good for the child, what is a reasonable amount of extracurricular activity. As options multiply, the pressures increase. Just remember that your poor kids are school children. That means they're students and their primary job is to study. That's what you really want them to do. I know that one of the most pressing questions that is asked of Valerie, my daughter, and her husband, because they homeschool their children, is, but what about socialization? How can your children be properly socialized unless they go and have school and activities with other children? There's a lot of very important socialization that goes on in family life. I'm convinced it's far more important than any other kind of socialization. If you don't learn how to be courteous and unselfish and self-sacrificing at home, you're certainly not going to be encouraged to learn it in society. The second thing about homeschooling, as far as the problem of socialization, is that in most areas there is a homeschool support group and they get together for activities from time to time. My daughter has two boys that come to her house one afternoon a week, and then two of her children go to their house one afternoon or morning per week, so that they have sort of an exchange program. And there are field trips that they do together. But even if they didn't have any of these things, I've seen my grandchildren growing in maturity and grace and wisdom and stature and favor with God and man, and I'm very grateful for that. Last summer, the two children came to visit Lars and me at a camp in North Carolina. I had been invited to speak at Camp Greystone, a very nice girls' camp in Tuxedo, North Carolina. And the two girls came to spend that week with us. And the Millers, Libby and Jim Miller, provided a very nice house, big enough for all of us. And they invited the girls to participate in the camp program if they wanted to during that week. Now, I was very dubious that they were going to want to jump in to the fifth week of a five-week program in which the girls had all been together for four previous weeks. Christiana and Elizabeth would be the two newcomers, and I just didn't think they'd want to do it. Well, to my amazement, the very first day they were shown around by Katie, Libby Miller's daughter, who couldn't have been nicer to them. She's one of the leaders of the camp as well. And Katie took them all around, showed them the various activities, introduced them to some of the children, and said, now you can choose anything that you want to do. You can be a part of the camp. You can do one part of the program and not the next part, whatever you want to do. To my amazement, not only did they want to do the full camp program, they wanted to sit at separate tables in the dining room, not even together, and they wanted to participate in nap time after lunch. And after the camp was over, several of the leaders told me that these two girls who had been homeschooled were the best socialized children that they had ever seen. Going back to the subject of extracurricular activities for your children, I believe that participation in one thing done excellently would be far better than participation in several things done in a mediocre fashion. Teach your children early that every choice to do one thing is a choice not to do 100 other things. That's one of the hard facts of life, but it is one that we all need to learn, and the sooner learned, the better. Band is fun, clubs are fun, sports are fun. The kids want to be with their friends. They want to be popular, visible, leaders, but they can't have it all. In Philippians 3, verses 12 to 15, we read, "It is not to be thought that I have already achieved this. I have not yet reached perfection. But I press on, hoping to take hold of that for which Christ once took hold of me. My friends, I do not reckon myself to have got hold of it yet. All I can say is this, forgetting what is behind me and reaching out for that which lies ahead, I press towards the goal to win the prize, which is God's call to the life above in Christ Jesus." Paul had a goal clearly defined. This one thing I do. And he was pressing toward that goal, which is the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Help your children to sort through and establish their goals. Help them to have a desire to do what's right, to learn the lessons, do the papers, take the exams, study hard. Somebody told me just the other day that the reason for stress is that people are always talking about things that they ought to do, that they need to do, that they want to do, without actually getting them done. Stress is relieved as soon as you do the thing, isn't it? But your children need help in knowing what to aim for. God knows the child's future. You don't. God wants to guide him. You can guide him up to a point. I think back on how God guided me to go away to boarding school when I was 14 years old. I didn't have any very high-sounding goals in going there, except that I was a Christian and I did want to learn the will of God for my life. But I was completely swept away by looking at pictures in the yearbook, pictures of palm trees and lakes and formal gardens and boys and girls in formal dress. But God took my ordinary human 14-year-old kind of desire and used it for his purposes. I can look back and believe that it was indeed God who led me to go there. It was God who gave to that headmistress the discernment to insist that I do certain things that I did not want to do. What she said I had to do, of course I had to do, but I did it reluctantly. Years later, I can look back and see the wisdom of God revealed. She first was the one who insisted that I learn to speak in public. She was the one who made me write. She was the one who gave me piano lessons. She was the one who insisted that I could sing. Wisdom, Coleridge said, is common sense in an uncommon degree. We can acquire knowledge. God can give us wisdom from his word. Wisdom is the ability to make practical use of what you know. Perception, discernment, judgment. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, that's where you have to start. My husband Lars and I were having dinner just the other night with some friends, and we were talking about some of the more obvious disasters that we've been witness to in the Christian world. And a doctor who was there at the table said, "It's the fear of the Lord that's absent. People are doing foolish things, unwise things, because they have no fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Proverbs 10:9 says, "He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out." Teach your children not to ask, "What will I get out of this?" but, "Is this right? Is this what God wants me to do?" Proverbs 16:3, "Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established." The fear of the Lord is the fruit of humility. That's another proverb. The fear of the Lord is the fruit of humility. If we're humble, we'll fear Him. If we fear Him, He'll make us wise. And the fear of the Lord will keep us from sin. Teach your children quietness of mind and firmness of will.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.